ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
In the world of studies, there is the Vishnu of that number, the professional stage of Samadhi. Then one has achieved the stage of Samadhi, what has he accepted? That was what we discussed last week. In science, that should be the eighth stage of Ashtanga Yoga. In that stage, what has he pursued? So, today we are going ahead on session number 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. All these verses are talking about coming to perfection. How can one achieve that stage of Samadhi? How can one come to that stage? So here Krishna is telling the procedure for that. How one should, while performing the how should one be very careful in order to make sure that one gradually comes to the point of meditation. So we will be session 24. Kanishtayena yoktavyo Yogo nirvinna chetata Sankalpattavavantama Tattva sarvana seshataha Manakaivendriya gramam Vinyamyasamantataha. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon, without exception, all material desires, born of mental speculation, and let control all the senses on all sides by the mind. Okay, here what Krishna says, Parishchayena yoktavyo, yogo anirvinna chetata. Without any deviation, one should engage in the practice of yoga perfectly. Whether it is Jnana Yoga or Karma Yoga or Dhyana Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. Here, for any practitioner of yoga, it is said that one should engage the Nishchaya Yoktavyo. With total determination, one should engage in the path of yoga. Actually, such perfection cannot be achieved very easily because it demands tremendous amount of faith and determination. It takes a long time for one to come to the stage of developing that amount of faith and determination. Because material life or spiritual life, both are certainly not a bed of roses. And material life, no matter how much you work hard and how much you separate the problem, ultimately it is a ocean of problems and you are going to again and again be facing similar situations life after life. There is no end to that. But in spiritual life, difficulties, if tolerated and one makes a systematic endeavor in spiritual life, he can arrive at a stage where one can put an end to all the suffering. That is the difference between material endeavor and spiritual endeavor. By sincerely trying and developing faith and determination in spiritual life, gradually one goes higher and higher. The stage where one can come to the end of all material existence and send back to the kingdom of God. So, before these verses, like 2 verses, 24 and 25 and 26. These 3 verses are very important for us aspiring conscious life. How does he come to the point of getting fixed determination? Because without developing a strong faith in the process, one cannot get determination. Is it not? First of all, it's just faith in what you are doing. So there is sadhana and there is sadhya. Sadhya means the end result of what we practice. And sadhana is the practice itself. So once you have a firm faith in both, sadhana and sadhya, only then this faith will gradually turn into determination. Otherwise we cannot be determined. It's very easy to understand. Just like if you don't know where to take a turn to come to Atharva, from the Ishwara University Road. If you are doubtful, will it be practicing very fast in your relation? In final zero? You won't be. Because you are doubtful. Wherever there is an element of doubt, then there is no confidence. There is no faith, there is no determination. All those things are lacking. So one has to kill the demon of doubt, that's the first thing, in spiritual life. So ignorance should be destroyed, the proper knowledge. When ignorance is destroyed, then with knowledge, then one develops more faith, and when the faith develops, then there is determination. So when the determination is developed, the determination of a yogi becomes so strong and so sturdy that it may even pass through several lifetimes. For example, many of us are practicing Krishna consciousness. There are some people who are coming here, who are left and gone. And some people are coming steadily now, and some may be in the future also. Or some people may go on and keep coming regularly and ultimately achieve success. So in this way we can see, in the part of yoga, some people just get disheartened after some time, thinking that how long will I have to go on like this? Because yoga implies sense control and mind control, is it not? Immediately. So how long will I have to control my mind and senses? How long will I have to go? When will I see the result? So they become impatient. So naturally, the person who is not patient will not achieve that end result. One has to be patient like a small child. He can understand about pregnancy when you put together. In the same way, in the beginning stages of yoga, we have to just share the principles and be ready to follow them, faithfully. And be very patient for the result to come. That is right from human to earth. Success is sure for the rigid practitioner. Success is sure for the rigid practitioner. One who is very rigid in his practice does not deviate at any time, and even in the case of time, as it is said. He will certainly achieve success in this yoga. But one should have sufficient faith. In fact, when the yogi advances in the spiritual path, he gradually comes to a point where he understands that now I am becoming purified, that it may take me even lifetimes to purify. So it even goes beyond one's life. One place, even if I don't achieve perfection in this life, I am ready to wait for a million lives, or 100 lives, or even in another 2 lifetimes. One is ready for that. This is the actual meaning of determination. Determination is not a very cheap thing. Prabhupada gives the example here of the story of sparrow. The sparrow was also raised in the ocean. She wanted to get the egg back. And she was so determined that she was taking drop by drop and going and putting it at a faraway place. So that all the ocean can be empty and then ultimately she can get her eggs back. Is it something that you can imagine about? Is it possible for a sparrow to dry up the ocean? In the same way, for all of us, tiny living entities, there is no possibility of overcoming Maya. Maya is like a vast ocean. In fact, we are living in the kingdom of Maya. And Maya is extremely powerful. And she is attacking from all directions by all possible ways. So there is hardly any possibility of escape. So what is our hope? Our hope is that Krishna by his sense will give us protection. Krishna can save us from Maya. Just like the sparrow was saved, the sparrow was given that the egg by Garuda. In the same way, Krishna will come and help us. Otherwise there is no possibility. So this determination is what Krishna is looking in us. The proper course is saha, nishya, dharya. So one has to have enthusiasm in spiritual life. And this enthusiasm has to be a persistent, prolonged enthusiasm. Not just the initial faith. That is beginning when one is introduced to Krishna consciousness. One is very enthusiastic, coming to temple, chanting, meeting devotees, respecting devotees, everything. And after some time they forget it and go away. After a year or two. But this enthusiasm should actually prolong year after year. Day after day, month after month, year after year, it should go on and on. One should have a persistent enthusiasm. Then, by such an enthusiasm, one can attract the attention of Krishna. One needs such an enthusiasm to attract Krishna's mercy. Then, when Krishna's mercy comes, one can easily overcome all the different trials and tribulations. So, when we say you have to have determination, that naturally implies there is some temptation in spiritual life. There are going to be temptations. There is no doubt about that. Although you have heard several times, that our object of love and focus is Krishna. And when we talk of love, one should repose all one's energies, one's mind, one's senses, everything in love Krishna service. That is actually the meaning of love. We know it. We have studied the theory. But then when one is faced with temptation, one may succumb to the temptation. One may fall asleep. So the temptation is nothing but a prostitute who is coming and taking away taking us away from our real object of love, that is Krishna. సో అసతి కొంచెం బాగా సరిగ్గా బాగోతాం కంటెంట్ దాట్ వన్ వన్ రిజల్ట్ వన్ ఐ ఫర్ సేమ్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ రిలేటెడ్ ప్రశ్న అండ్ ద ఐస్ ఆర్ లైక్ బ్లూమ్ ఫర్ ద పీకాక్ ద పీకాక్ ఆర్ జస్ట్ బ్లూమ్ విచ్ ఆర్ ఆఫ్ నో యూస్ ద పీకాక్ దట్ యూ కెనాట్ సీ విత్ దట్ thing and yes there is one that not here the achitapata or the very first question they are compared to next point delay kata vikrama vikramandi if you don't get the very first question who is actually the prakrama vikram so one who has performed this very if you don't get that then it is called as a snake hole or a tongue that speaks or that a brothers who are not going to get the question then the tongue is called as a tongue of a frog which is constantly making a croaking sound, simply inviting the serpent. Similarly, one by one speech, useless speech, one is simply attaching the attention of the call of serpent. Inevitable time. In this way, different examples are given. Or one is wearing a big mukut or a turban, that is considered to be a big bhara, the weight on the head, simply weight on the head. Or a woman who is wearing beautiful golden bangles, the merchant may have a lot of money, he may buy golden bangles for his wife. That is, this hand is simply like the hand of a shower in his body. If it is not used in Krishna service, if the hand is not used for dressing Krishna, bathing Krishna, offering food to Krishna, cooking for Krishna, then the center will be in the hands of a shower. So these are very strong remarks that are given in Srimad Bhagavatam for one who does not engage his senses in the service. So when one wins over the temptation, then naturally one achieves the message of the Lord. But when one succumbs to temptation, then one falls down to the divine grace of the Lord. So both happen. It depends on which path you take. There are going to be temptations in spiritual life. There is no doubt about that. Every one of us at our own level. Different people have different types of problems in Krishna consciousness, either in the beginning or at the elevated stage. Many of us may face problems which are very petty in nature or advanced in nature, advanced problems. Just like in a first standard, you have very simple subject. This may be now very easy for you. But when you go to 10th standard, it's more tougher. When you go to college, education is more tougher. Compared to the capacity of the student, the test is given. Similarly, the test given by God are certainly not beyond our capacity to attend. Or they are certainly not beyond our capacity to overcome and succeed. So He uses tests from time to time according to our capacity. And He expects us to win over those temptations. And then when you win over the temptation, then you succeed. Then you go one step higher, or you come one step lower. So you stay in the temptation. Like that. So Krishna says, Sarishchayena Yoktavyo Yogo Anirvinna Ketaka. One should not have any deviation in his chetana when one is performing yoga. And then he says, Sankalpa Prabhavanam Kamam Chakva Sarvan Acheshakaha. Sankalpa Prabhavanam Kamam. There are so many desires coming from the mind. Everyone in this world is sitting on the chariot of the mind and wandering here and there, so many places. In fact, for a materialist, the mind is like a rolling motor, all the time performing work, like a prime mover. He is never peaceful. All the time it is thinking of something or the other. And it is wandering everywhere. Probably only at the time of sleep, he is keeping his mind calm. But sometimes people get dreams in the sleep also. Then even night rest is lost. So this way, mind gives a lot of problems. Sankalpa Prabhavan says, so where are these desires originating from? Already there are millions of desires stored in the mind because of the previous lifetime activity. And now also we are picking up so many new things and learning them in the mind. Like everything that you see with eyes, everything that you hear, they all have got a lot to do with the mind. That is why the one engages in frivolous talk or one engages in watching some periodic movies on the TV, or one engages in wasting his time reading useless mundane literature. So these all have got a lot to do with the mind. They all actually go ultimately to the mind. Mind is a reservoir, and everything is stored in the mind. So here he's saying, the mind is generating so many desires, but it is chakra, one is the jivasa desire. Sarvan, everything, all sheshakara is it. Don't even leave any bit of them. All cases that means completely uproot them. Don't just trim them from the top, lest they may come back again and attack you. Just like a weed that is trimmed from the top. If you just trim a weed from the top, the root remains. Again, it is going to sprout. Similarly, he said the metaphysic debate is completely absolute. So in the long time of Bhagavatam, there is a discussion between Mini and the Navayagendra. There is a beautiful verse there which explains how there are two kinds of people, one the jnani and one the karmi. He says the jnanis, they are disgusted with the material nature, with the materialistic engagement. They are completely disgusted with that. I have to read the verse.
निर्विज्ञानां ज्ञानयोगो त्यागिनां कर्मतु तेषु अनिर्विण्णचित्तानां कर्मयोगोत्सुकानां.
He says निर्विज्ञानां ज्ञानयोगो, those who are disgusted with material nature, they should take to the path of ज्ञानयोग. He says ज्ञानिनां इह कर्मतु, ज्ञाति means the same thing, one who is sannyasi, one who is a renunciate, who hates to perform metaphysic activities. But then he says Tesh anirvinna chittana, one who is not yet disgusted with material world, one who is having a lot of desire to enjoy the material world, he is karma yogosu kamina. He is filled with so many desires in his heart. So he is talking about these two categories of people. Two extremes, try to understand. One is the extreme where he is considering the material world to be disgusting. He just wants to get rid of it. In fact, he is so afraid of the material form that he doesn't want to take any more form. He just wants to give up the body and become impersonal, merge into Brahman. That is his understanding. On the other hand, there is a karmi who is very much interested in the materialistic aspects of the world, who is completely absorbed in 24 hours a day. And then he says, Yadrishtaya matkatado jatashaddhastu dhattuman manir vinno nati tattu bhakti yovarakshasi siddhama. Here he says, Yadrishtaya matkatado. In anyone's heart, a spontaneous attraction arises to hear my pastimes, activities, and all such things. If anyone's heart such thing, such a desire is arising, that is Shraddha to Yankumar. That Shraddha comes in one's heart. Shraddha means transcendental faith. We want to accept that. And such a person, he says, na adhisatto. He is not attached like a materialist. Na nirvinno. He is not completely disgusted. Then he says, Bhakti Yoga is the Siddhaya. Such a person can achieve perfection in the path of Bhakti. So if we can understand these two verses, then we can very easily appreciate what is actual meaning of detachment. Then we can become free from all the several desires that arise in our mind. If one tries to develop a disgust with the material world, one considers everything abominable, one is averse to the things of the world, that is considered to be only the other side of attachment. As we once said earlier, attachment and aversion are two sides of the same coin. The two sides of the same coin. So, that is the reason why we find sometimes the jnani who has apparently developed their detachment from the material world and is completely averse to the material world. He leaves everything and goes in order, but then we see him returning back to the material world. Again, engaging in the same old activity. And materialist, needless to say, he is always engaged in materialistic activity. Whereas here he is saying that being so too obvious or too sensual, both will not help you to control the mind. If you are too sensual, you will go practically crazy, as Krishna says. It is like pouring ghee into fire. If you pour more and more ghee into fire, what do you expect to happen? The fire is only going to grow bigger and bigger. So the karma or the lux is actually the crown desires amongst all the desires in the heart of every living being. That. So, if one is very, very lusty, if one is carried away by the desires of the mind, then there is no possibility of controlling the mind. Too sensual. And if one is too austere, then it goes to the other extreme. This is that. So, Prabhupada explains beautifully the purpose that one has learned to become a bhakta. For a bhakta, he says, neither will know, not the sattva, he says. If neither considering the world to be disgusting, he doesn't develop an aversion to the world. Rather, he knows that everything actually belongs to the Lord. Everything is engaged in the Lord's service. So he doesn't develop an aversion towards materialistic things. Because he knows that every material thing is actually created by Krishna. And they are not false. They are not unreal, but they are temporary. That's the difference between the two. The forms that we see around us, they are temporary, but they are not unreal. They exist. So he develops this understanding. For example, simple example. The materialist may be too engrossed in eating, all kinds of respect, and you'll be becoming a servant of his son and belly and gender. Whereas on the other hand, a jnani, he gives up everything. He eats the root, he eats kandamur, or he drinks air and lives in the forest. So he tries to completely avoid by being aware to all the eaters. So as a devotee of the Lord, he offers everything to Christianity. So Prabhupada explains how sometimes one may bring the mind under control by limited satisfaction. Actually, I was very impressed when I read this purport. Because, earlier I have heard that if you try to satisfy the senses in a limited way, materially, they are never going to be satisfied. Do you know that? Because Krishna himself says, if you treat the senses, they will only grow more and more wild. The senses are compared to serpents. So they are always eager to act unexpectedly and lose it. So the more you try to give some gratification to the senses, they are going to trouble you. So as Krishna says, this poor and unlearned thing, it's like pouring ghee into fire, they are never going to be satisfied. But here Prabhupada explains that if you give limited satisfaction to the senses by giving them things that are connected to Krishna, then they will become satisfied. Like for example, once in a while if one takes some large mahaprasad, Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad, I am not saying Prabhupada says, that is not bad. Once in a while one should take a little bit mahaprasad that comes from Radha Goga. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad in front of Ram Chandra. Then we want the verse number 11:20:19. 11:20:19. So, in one case like that, once in a while, when one is working with his job with us, or one is swimming, going for swimming, or one is sitting in casual talk with God with us, such a thing may keep one's mind cool, and gradually such a thing may help the mind to gain control. But at the same time, he gives a warning that excess of these things may bring about a spiritual setback. That is bound to happen. If one excessively loosens the mind and loosens one's spiritual practices, then actually, then one falls down from spiritual life, then that's a spiritual setback. So one should not develop aversion on one hand, and one should not develop attachment. One should be free from both. That is Krishna consciousness. This is actually the proper way for developing detachment. On the other hand, sometimes the very same mind that opposes the violent view indulges in intoxication, or violent view indulges in illicitude. Can one be a little relaxed in this? One should definitely not relax this thing. In fact, one should learn to tolerate them as Krishna says, Tanam Pratikshastra. As far as mind dictates you to go in the wrong direction, one has to tolerate the urges of the mind. One should say a big no to the mind. One should tolerate. But as long as something is within the purview of Krishna conscious limit, one is, any desire of the mind is within the regulative principles, one can take it in a limited way. As proper this, limited satisfaction. Then one can, one's mind can become gradually satisfied. So this is the way one can actually confront the desire of the heart. Because who is that in the world who does not want to eat palatable food stuff? Everyone wants to eat palatable food stuff. So Prabhupada, even when he went to the village, he used to cook varieties of items and offer it to Krishna and give it to the people. Because by eating such food stuff, one becomes purified at heart. But one eats excessively, that means one doesn't see it as prasad. One just eats it as a very nice eater. Then actually one becomes a slave of his senses in this way. So when we talk of karma, the karma actually arises from our lack. And jnana, that arises from indifference. Whereas bhakti, it arises from complete faith in the devotional service of the Lord. So one should not become a karmi, simply fulfilling one's lusty propensities. One should not become a jnani, simply being indifferent from the material world, only to fall back again to some gratification. But one should become a bhakta, one who has developed unflinching faith in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. So how can one develop that faith? Where can the faith come from? It is said, Tasmat Tena Pipahena Krishna Vyashaya. The song can read it like. Somehow or other one should strike a relationship with Krishna. Somehow or other one should think of Krishna in one's mind. And Krishna himself says that, Param Drishwa Nivartate. Unless you develop a higher faith, you cannot give up the loyal one. It is impossible to not succumb to the temptations and calls of the devilish mind. Because evil deeds have their origin in evil thoughts. And evil thoughts, ఏడు దాకా ఇరవై రోజు అట్లానే వన్ లక్షలు ఇరవై హాయ చేస్తున్నాయి. As you leave the Lord's things automatically, the mother may not now come and teach you how to give up playing with the toys. You don't have to be even told about it, because you are having a higher engagement. In the same way, the one somehow or other fixes his mind on Krishna, then it is possible for one to conquer over all the desires of the mind. Otherwise, it is impossible. There is no possibility of controlling the mind. Many, many people try to control the mind by various ways. We are about explaining the purpose, the sloka, uttaha, nishya, dhairya. The dhairya also means determination. Dhairya has two meanings. One is, you must have heard the Sanskrit verse of Upadeshamrita, Vasavegam, Manasaregam, Kravavegam, Jihwavegam, Udaravegam, Pastavegam. Allergies of the tongue, allergies of the belly, allergies of the genitals, and anger, and demands of the mind. What is this one? So we speak that if one has conquered all of them, then it is said that he has achieved the stage of dhairya. Then he has achieved the stage of dhairya. So that is nishchita bhajana kriya and anishchita bhajana kriya. Anishchita bhajana kriya means where one has not achieved his determination. And nishchita bhajana kriya means one has achieved the firm determination. So, between the two stages, there is an intense struggle going on in the mind of everyone. So, one has to conquer the six urges. I will not talk about it because we already heard about it earlier. But still, we can talk of one of the points. One of the things I felt was the urge to become angry. Siddha can be understood naturally. The other things we have heard also, the reason I was reading the section from Avanti Brahma. It was very appealing to see how Avanti Brahman tolerated the urge to speak, and he didn't even have any evil thoughts in the mind, nor did he do extend any action that would damage his spiritual life. He was very tolerant. So to say briefly, Avanti Brahman was a very rich man who was a miserly person. Later on, due to the will of Providence, he was defeated and he was thrown out of the house by the relatives and friends. And now he was in the street, and later on he took the role of a mendicant. He became a mendicant. At one time, some people who were rowdies and rascals, they were roaming in the street. They saw this mendicant, and they took away his sannyas rod. They took away his kamandalu. He was using his kamandalu as a begging pot. So they took away that. They took away his deer skin, and they took away even his tattered clothes which was putting on his body. They even took away that. They took away his beads that was kept on his standing. So in this way, they took away everything, and then they were all ridiculing him and laughing at him. And sometimes they would pretend as if they are giving it all back to him. And then when they would throw his hand to receive it, they would immediately take it away and they would laugh at him and call many ill names upon him. And when he would be sitting near the bank of the river to eat some food that came in charity, immediately somebody would, one of his disciples would come and would offer, he would pass urine in there. And they would spit on his head. In this way they behaved in such a bad way with Avanti Brahman. Not only that, they ridiculed him, some of them even shouted at him. They said, "You are a hypocrite. You are just making a show of being a sadhu, but you are actually a hypocrite. Because the family people have thrown you away, you are not getting anything to eat. You are taking the role of a sadhu." But actually Avanti Brahman was a very detached and very pure-hearted man. He had achieved detachment when he was thrown out of the house. He was actually a real sadhu. But he tolerated his anger in his mind. He didn't speak even a single word. He didn't beat anyone in return. He just tolerated everything. And then he said to himself, all these troubles that are coming from my mind and from my own body and from the other living entities and the will of Providence is all arranged by the Supreme God. Just purify me. That's why when you throw gold in fire, the gold will become more pure. Is it not? When you throw gold in fire, all the impurities go away and the real, pure God comes out of it. Similarly, when you take an ash and you cut a sandalwood tree, it only gives you more smell. The more you cut it, the more smell it gives. Similarly, one has understood this aspect that everything comes from the Lord. Then he will never leave the shelter of God. So he said to himself, everything is actually arranged by God. Lord mercy. And then he quoted a very famous verse. Aham Parishyam Grantapara, I will talk about this ocean of mission. Simply by taking shelter of Lord Mukunda, he said. Aham Parishyam Mukunda Param, by taking shelter of Lord Mukunda. Sama Mukunda with Nishayu Yeva. I will talk about this darkness by firmly holding on to the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is a very important word. How he conquered his anger by taking shelter of Mukunda. No one can conquer anger even by Vichara Viveka. Even with any amount of intelligence and discrimination, one cannot conquer anger. Because the anger is such a quality that even if one endeavors for that, at the least expected moment, the attachment to the sense of it will easily simply cross all our intelligence and easily give vent to anger. One can see that as Krishna says, Jayate Ujjan Pumsaha, Sangaste Shita Jayate, Sangaste Jayate Kam, Kama, Kodha Adhijayate. Immediately, the attachment is there and immediately the anger will come. No one can conquer anger unless one has become a devotee of the Lord. So, in this way, Avanti Brahmana conquered his anger and attached his feet to the shelter of the Lord. This verse is so wonderful that it was later on carried to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the sannyasis up to date, everyone chanted this particular verse. So, this day of Parama Nishtha was achieved by many great works like Sanat Sanatan, the renounced order, and great things like Janaka Maharaj, the Grihastha order. So, whether we are in Grihastha order or Sannyasa order, one has to achieve this biggest Parama Nishtha. At this point, one will get this Kanishtha Yena Yoktavyo. One will get this determination. And that one has this kind of Nishtha from faith in the Supreme Lord, one cannot achieve this determination. So, the mind is constantly working, bringing forth so many material desires. You can see that, how one after other the desires are coming and going in the heart, there is no end to that. So, if one wants to fix up one's mind, so one has to conquer the six urges. That is one of the meaning of this word dhairya. And dhairya also means patience. Patience means one is ready to wait for any long period of time. And one is seeking the mercy of the Lord. Just like we see, the Kapara Pakshi, it will never drink any water except for the swati rain water. So it is very, very patient. Not only is it patient to wait for the water, although it is looking at the sky for this water, even if there is a thunderbolt in the sky, or if there is a lightning, he already saw the suffering. At last, wait for the drop of water that comes from the sky. He never looks down for the water that is available in the ocean. He doesn't look down for that. What is the analogy here? Similarly, a devotee of Krishna behaves in such a way that no matter whatever obstacles come in his life, he is ready to wait for Krishna's mercy. Even if Krishna gives a thunderbolt, he really got that in his life. And he doesn't turn to sense gratification, which is abundantly available in the world. The whole world is running after sense gratification. Simply money making. People are running after that. But a devotee is completely focused in Krishna's feet. So that is the kind of determination that is being spoken of here. And he says, Manasai Vendriya Krama Viniyamya Samantataha. One should control, here he is writing, all visual bond of mental situation and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. One should control all the senses on all sides by the mind. What does that mean? Because every sense object is, every sense is giving input to the mind. Eyes are giving input. By walking in the road, you just see a very bad poster, so the eyes are given a bad input to the mind. Or you hear some music, very abominable music, then that is an input to the mind through the ears. Similarly to the tongue, so for every one of the senses you can give input to the mind. So the ahara for every one of the senses has to be very carefully chosen. ఆహారం లేకుండా ఇంకో అన్ని పదం మావు ఆహారం ఏంటి ఎవరి మన పదం ఆహార పద ఆయుష ఆహార పద ఇంకో ఎవరి మన పంచి వెరీ క్యాపిటల్ పర్సన్ తయారు అన్ఫార్చునేట్లీ వీఆర్ లివింగ్ ఇన్ అ వరల్డ్ గోయింగ్ ఇన్ సచ్ డేంజరస్ పార్ట్ దిస్ వెరీ సచ్ డేంజరస్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ డిస్ట్రక్షన్ టేకింగ్ అస్ ఇంటూ లోయర్ నేచర్ ఆల్వేస్ సో వన్ హ్యాస్ టు బి వెరీ క్యాపిటల్ అదే ఇస్ సేయింగ్ వన్ టు కంట్రోల్ ద మైండ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ సైడ్స్ యు రిమెంబర్ వి రెడ్ ఇన్ ద సెకండ్ చాప్టర్ హి సెడ్ that there's a word that he says, even if the mind focuses on one of the senses, one of the roving senses, then it is a metal experience. It is exactly like your boat having a hole. You may say a small hole. How does it matter? It's a tiny hole. And slowly but surely the boat is going to completely submerge in the water. So if you allow your mind even to focus on one of the roving senses, like if you allow your mind to focus on one of the roving ears, his ears are roaming. And he heard the sound and he fell down. Similarly, he saw the opening. He allowed his eyes. Eyes are the roaming sense for him. So he focused his mind on the eyes and immediately fell down like that. So one has to withdraw all the senses. So the near withdrawal by negating all the senses just is useless. That will never help. Rather, one should give a positive engagement to the senses. As I was telling you, eyes, if they are not used in Krishna service, it is just too simple. If anyone wants to go on to, once you see the beauty of Krishna, then that is actually the aharam of the eyes. The aharam of the ears is always hear the glories of Krishna passing to the devotees. When you ask aharam of the nose is to know the flower that is offered to Krishna. Aharam of the tongue is only prasad, not taking anything other than prasadam. When you ask aharam of the hands and legs and the working senses, it is engaged in the Lord's service. So in this way one can systematically compare all the senses. It is very much possible. That is why he says, Dasa Veda, more Panchagras, he says. You know what is the Panchagras? He says, Panchagras means the Ahara for my five senses. It's the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, he says. For my five senses, every one of the senses, they want Ahara. Every one of them is having a craving. Every one of us can easily observe that. There is a craving in our senses for enjoyment. And we can easily supplement this craving by giving them engagement. So he is saying the rest of the lotus feet of Vaishnava is my food for every one of my senses. That means seeing the body of Vaishnava, serving his lotus feet, taking the rest and doing abhishek on the body. He says like that, he thinks like that. That's why he says, Sandar Charanakari, Bhakta Sanyava. So once the order is living in the assembly, once you live in the assembly of devotees, once you never live alone. The devotee should live in the assembly of devotees and usually help one another, enthuse one another. To remind everyone of Krishna. Vaitrama can become frozen to the Krishna. Especially the mind, he put his fist on Krishna, then the senses also easily start cooperating with the mind. That is the first thing he says is Parai Manana Krishna Padara Vinde. First thing we should endeavor to focus his mind on Krishna. Repeatedly. So with the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Every day we are endeavoring for the same thing, that we want to focus his mind on Krishna completely. The thing is, Manakrishna and the sloka previous to that he says, Gopya Samatma, Daya Kamsa. He is telling different people how the gopis out of intense love for Krishna, how comes out of intense fear for Krishna, and how Shishupal out of intense envy for Krishna, and how the Vrishnis out of their family and affection for Krishna, and how the Pandavas out of their affection and love for Krishna. And how Narada of the devotional service for Krishna always was remembering Krishna in their mind. So in the next verse he says, Patamopina Venasya Sankranam Purusham Prati. So there are very great things like Vena, but they were not engaged in thinking of Krishna in one of the five ways which I earlier mentioned. So they couldn't think of Krishna, unfortunately. Because of that they never achieved perfection in their life. So if we don't think of Krishna, we will also lose the opportunity. So we should also learn to systematically engage your mind in thinking of Krishna. So there are many ways to do that. To come to temple regularly and take Krishna to deities. To always come in front of the Lord once, twice, or four times a day. As many times as possible. Come in front of the deities and open one's heart and express one's solemn petition to the Lord. And wait for Lord's mercy. Don't really do the monotonous exercise. By coming and doing like that, one can see a great transformation on heart. Include coming in front of the Lord, offering him obeisances, and then in front of him exactly like a child. One can very easily see that one's heart transform gradually. So one can open one's heart a lot like that. That is one way. Similarly, while chanting, every time when we see that mind is going here and there, we can get back the mind and we can try to repent for the deviation of the mind. Yoga anirvinna chetana. He says, don't deviate, but my mind is deviating. What should we do? We should pray to the Lord, please help me. Please help me. I was reading some shlokas later after this Bhagavatam shloka. A very interesting point is mentioned there. Prabhupada writes that a jnani in his practice sometimes may lose his patience because already he has developed a disgust towards the material thing. And if he doesn't succeed quickly in his endeavor, he may develop a disgust towards those things. That is a bhakta. He is in the world, develop a disgust, but I am not able to improve in my spiritual life. Actually, all of us are trying to improve in our spiritual life. Sometimes you see, the rent can't raise, sorry, the commission, sorry, the Rama, 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 you are chanting. You feel sleepy. Somebody wakes you up. And depending on how big is your inflated ego, that much you feel pain inside. Okay. You feel a burning sensation or feel a pinching sensation or whatever it is. Depending on how much ego you have. And somebody wakes you up in chanting. Why do you feel bad? Because somebody has detected sleeping. So you feel very, very painful to the heart. If you are too much affected in the heart, then you may even start shouting at the person. Who said I am sleeping? They do like that. Some people may not shout, but they may shout in the mind. They may not shout outside like that. So we sometimes feel like that. But sometimes even after you are being repeatedly woken up, one time, two times, three times, four times, you feel sleepy. And then one may develop a disgust just in the heart. What is this? I Krishna chanting. Hell with it. I am bored with it. Damn it. You feel like that. But for Acharya Vishnu, that one should not feel that it's just. Never lose patience. In the same way, another means chanting Hare Krishna and many other ways you can see. We are not able to overcome anger. Although, we may talk about it a lot, sometimes we become angry. Similarly, we become lusty. Similarly, we become proud. And how many times should we talk about them? These anattas are repeatedly coming. And they are coming out from our hearts, repeatedly disturbing us, agitating our mind. So one may, over a period of time, think, what is this? I have tried for so long and nothing is working out. Probably Krishna consciousness doesn't work. One may come to a wrong conclusion like that. So it is said that a devotee should never develop this gap. On the contrary, when one is unable to conquer this sensual nature, one that is going to be there are the idea to know that you are the master. Because I am not a bhakta at all. So if you are any bhakta bhakta, I am not another bhakta. So what is you? By the time I am gone, and then I jump in from somebody that you are a dhinaman to, then I become very happy. So I have to deliver the power. So that's the man to pray to God. You are the guru. You take care of the power. So sometimes, if I have to do it, this is the same thing I have to say, I have to say, I have to say, I am not perfect. So we will do it better than that.
And you look at yourself and you wake up. It's not done. Thank you.